So what I want to do today is just talk a little bit about what baptism is according to the scripture so we can get a good idea of that and good understanding of that and good framework of that before we're dunking people a little later on. I got to have dinner with the guys who were being baptized on Friday night. We went down to the Mandarin. If you haven't been down to the Mandarin in Reading, in my opinion, the best buffet in the land in these parts. You guys know what I'm preaching right now? We went down on Friday night. We thought there was going to be a buffet. There wasn't, but grace. We moved on and we ordered a couple bobo platters and we sat there to talk about baptism. We sat there to talk about what the gospel meant. We sat there to talk about what the church meant to these men who chose to get baptized, who chose to make a public profession of their faith. And I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away at how these guys articulated the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are men who knew what they believed. They knew how the gospel had changed their life. When we talked about the reality that God's own Son took on the weight of our sin and the penalty of our sin and took away our guilt and shame, at times the table was just like breathless. Like, wow, that's immense, that's intense, that's spectacular. How could God do that for us, for me? It was amazing to us. And we sat there and we talked and we enjoyed it. And I thought about how good God has been to all of us. Some of these men, we started a Bible study about in January, a men's Bible study. Some of these men I've known since I was in high school. And for them to be able to experience the gospel and proclaim the gospel and live in the truth of the gospel like that, it was just so inspirational to me. I pray that Restoration Road is a place where there is 5,000 more of those stories where Jesus is changing lives. That's why we're here today, because of Jesus. People come to church for Jesus. People are changed because of Jesus and what He has done. And He continues to change lives. And we're baptizing four today, but if anyone else wants to get baptized, we're not afraid. We'll dunk you today, man. You get a little wet, throw a towel on you, just move it on. It'd be a good day for you. And so, I'm going to go through about seven things that Scripture teaches us about baptizing, just expound on them a little bit more, and I'll let these guys get up here. First of all, Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus commanded us to baptize. He said His body of Christ, His body, the church, His disciples, those who would follow Him, should baptize people. That should be part of our rhythms at a church. If you're at a church for 10 years and no one's been baptized, you need to start asking some questions. Because is the gospel being preached? Is grace being proclaimed? Are people spending life with each other and preaching the gospel and caring for one another and living for the mission of God? Baptism should be part of the rhythm of the church. They should be seen, they should be known, and we should be rejoicing in them. As I went over the list of the people I've had the privilege of being part of their baptism, I was amazed. I got to be part, I'm just going to name some names for you, and what a privilege as a pastor that I got to be part of these people's baptisms. George Gangestaz. Did you guys know I dunked Georgie? I was part of that. Donna Grace, Taylor Grace, my own wife, Natalie Thompson, Paul Myers. I think he was the first Restoration Road baptism. We need to go to the video. But I remember it was Paul. I could be wrong. I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong. My own daughter, Talia Thompson, Jerry Bragalone, Christian Bragalone, Dennis Murphy, Lisa McIsaac. Now today I get to be part of Bob Cunningham's, Daniel Baker, and Peter Kuchmanek. How'd I say it, Pete? Wow, man, that was like speaking Hebrew, I swear to goodness. And Ryan Getchels. And so, as a pastor, I just feel overwhelmed by God's grace towards me, and Dave feels the same way as he's been to be part of many of those. I can't wait at the end of my life, I can look back, and I pray that list is big, and just say, this was all You, Jesus. Thank You for letting me be a part of these changed lives. And every one of you are a part of those changed lives and get to be a part of that. That is an awesome thing. The scriptures teach us, number two, to repent and be baptized. You see, that's part of the flow of the church. the apostle would say, repent of your sin and be baptized. It was a commandment of Jesus. So if Jesus commands something, I really don't even need to expound on that much. If the Son of God says it to me, I'm usually good with it. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, you told us to baptize. I don't need any more. If you want to give me 7 points, I'm good. But if Jesus commands it, I'm okay with doing it. We do this first and foremost because Jesus commanded it. And because his church practiced it, they said, repent and be baptized. He called us to be baptized. Thirdly, baptism is the work of God and the work of God alone. It's important for us to understand that. Yes, we have free will. Yes, we choose God. But it's God by his grace who spiritually awakens hearts to see the person and the work of Jesus. You know how in John, Jesus kept saying, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Yes, he made us in his image. We have free will. We say, God, I choose you. I love you. I believe you. But it's God who initiates. It is God who pursues. It is God who tracks down and unveils the eyes of our hearts so that we can see Jesus for who he really is. It's all by God's grace alone. And I'll bring George up again. George was sitting in the congregation one day, and all I said was the words I just said to you. You didn't choose God. God chose you. And a light bulb went off. His life changed. He's never been the same. Never been the same. You saw something in his eyes, in his life, in his attitude, in his emotions, where he was changed. That God went down, moved his heart, pursued him, had a plan for him, and changed him. Many of us who are here today, we've experienced the same. Many of us, God's going to track you down. Right? He's been coming after you. He's going to track you down. Enough of that. Enough of that sinful life. Enough of that pain. Enough of that sorrow. Enough of that hopelessness. Come with me. No one's ripping you out of my hands. You can't sin your way away from me. You can't run away from me. You are mine. And that's what God does with salvation. He tracks us down. He changes us. And it's about God's free grace alone. So no one gets to heaven and says, I'm one of the good guys that chose God. Everyone's okay. Wow, we were chosen by God. Yes, we chose him. But we rejoice in his grace, not our works. Amen? No one's going to be up there saying, thank goodness I was a good decision maker. Everyone's going to be up there. Thank goodness God was gracious. Thank goodness God sent his son. Thank goodness he's loving. Thank goodness he paid the price. It's all Jesus forever for all eternity. Do you guys hear what I'm preaching? That's grace, grace. That's a new saying that's catching like wildfire around here. Fourth thing, it's a sign that your sins are forgiven. Now, we're not doing something magical here, like there's a sinner and all of a sudden we dip and bring him up. He is pure before you. Behold. That's like, there's no magic water in there, guys. I hate to tell you, that came out of the tap, man. We put a hose in there. I don't care how long me and Dave were here praying for it, it's still tap water. But it's a symbol of what Christ has done inwardly for us. It's a sign that our sins are washed away. It's great symbolism. It's powerful. Do you know how many people, you guys know because we're human beings and we all struggle. Do you know how many of us struggle with guilt, shame, and condemnation because of our sins? You know how much the world is suffering? And they don't even know how to identify it if they don't hear the gospel. They're going trying all different things. Help me numb this pain. Help me feel better. Help me get peace. I can't deal with this guilt, this shame. And they don't even know it's because of sin. But then Jesus comes along and says, you know what? I know you couldn't live the perfect life. I know you couldn't be perfectly obedient, so I was. And he took our place and he lived that life in our place. So that's a sign that you have no need to be ashamed, that you are innocent before God. There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. You are free. That's what baptism symbolizes. Hear that truth today. That's a huge reality. Many people have trouble accepting that reality. It took me years to accept that truth, that it was God's grace that I was forgiven. I felt like I had to do so many works. I felt like I had to be nice to a certain amount of people or not say a bad word for 3 days. Like I had to go through these works. Jesus did the work. Live in that free grace. And when you experience that grace that your sins are washed away, you will change more than ever. Change more than when you tried your hardest to change. You know how guys, I'm going to do it. This time's going to be it. When you say, Jesus did that work. I'm going to live in peace and rest in that. Your life will change dramatically and you will never be the same. Everyone who's baptized today, you are not the same. You are innocent before God
Amen.
So I'm fired up. Every time I finish a point, I say amen just because I feel it. You know what I mean? Number five. This is one of the greatest things. You're actually preaching a gospel sermon up there when you're getting baptized. You're preaching a sermon to everyone in the congregation. And it's going on YouTube, so anyone who watches on YouTube, you're preaching a sermon to them too. We're getting some hits. I didn't know we'd get hits. I was happy we got like 5 hits. But we're getting some hits. Mikey ain't playing around when he throws it on that YouTube channel. But you're proclaiming a gospel message to people. You're identifying with his death, with his burial, and with his resurrection. That's what this is symbolism of. The old man's gone. He's buried dead. He comes up new, and he comes up resurrected. You're preaching a gospel message. You're publicly professing your faith. That's why we don't do it isolated. Just you and the pastor on the mountain with God, right? Everyone wants that. One of my boys wanted me to do that baptism right there. He's like, I don't understand. I won't say who it is. I understand why we got to do it. And me, believe me, I want to do my baptism alone too. There's a lot less pressure. You know, people want to come to your baptism. You're like, no, stay home. There's too much pressure. But it's a public profession of your faith. I remember watching my daughter get baptized. We made her wait 2 years because she was 7. And I wanted to make sure she really knew what she was doing. Then I saw that God was actually working in her heart. And she was 9. And I said, I can't hold her back anymore. I can't. She loves Jesus. She prays to Jesus. She even repents as a 9-year-old to Jesus. She receives God's grace. She trusts in him. It's time for her to be baptized. And when I got to be part of that baptism, she came out of that water. It preached a gospel sermon to me. It says the gospel's not only for you, it's for your children. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? Now, it's one thing Jesus saves you. We go bananas, right? We don't even know what's going on. This is amazing. But then you realize you have children and you can preach that beautiful, wonderful, truthful gospel to them. How gracious is our God? We're preaching gospel sermons up there. There's 4 more messages being preached when these men get baptized. 6, we should walk in newness of life before and after our baptism when Jesus saves us. Our life should be not marked by sin in the same way. Yes, we fall. Yes, we won't be perfect. But our life should be marked by holiness and grace and repentance and love. It's a new life to walk in. New spiritual walk. God has made you alive. He's given you new eyes, new life, a new perspective, new walk in Jesus. And we're called to walk in that newness of life. And finally, number 7. You're not just doing this by yourself. You're getting baptized into a group of billions of believers over time who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Billions who have been washed clean by the work of Jesus Christ. Many, many people who have been changed, who have been transformed, who have been made alive by Jesus, and who will rejoice in all eternity and presently because Jesus did it all for us. One body, one spirit, one baptism, one church. So if there's a guy in China who's getting baptized and a guy in Wakefield, you guys are going into that same body of Christ if you put your faith in Jesus. If there's one in Africa and there's one in Canada, one in South America and one in Russia. Anyone who puts their faith in Jesus is being baptized into this body of Christ universally who will rejoice in the one and only King, Jesus Christ. That's the beautiful thing that's happening today. That's just 7 thoughts. It's so multifaceted. It's so beautiful and so powerful. But what we're going to do now is we're going to get all these guys stressed out. And we're going to make them come up to the mic. And they're just going to really share some things with you guys. And just really share what Jesus has done in their life. And so, Dave, I'll shut this one off now.
Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Mike is hot. Is Bob in the building? He's changing for his message. All right. All right, here we go. Can the crowd go crazy right now for Bob? Bob, you're up, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. As Joey said, we met Friday night, and we talked about a number of different things when it comes to baptism. He gave us a little bit of a guide. In terms of what the gospel means to me, so we all know the gospel is the word of God, and it's for us to follow. More than that, for me, it's Jesus, who was a man, perfect and free of sin. But in addition to that, it was God's journey. It was Jesus' good acts. It was Jesus' teachings to let us know that we weren't perfect, but also to show us and give us an example of a path to follow. In terms of baptism, what it means to me is that my sins are being washed away, but my sins have already been forgiven by Jesus. But this isn't just me being baptized, and congratulations for Bob. It's me being baptized as a member of this community. So we're all being baptized. All of our sins are being washed away. And like Pastor said, it's an example to show our faith and to preach the gospel in that action. So it's really about all of us. In terms of the church, what this church means to me, as Joey preached last weekend, that we're a city on a hill, and to be a part of that city on the hill, well lit up high so everybody can see it, that's what this church means to me. It's this church that God, Jesus, brought me to. I didn't ask to be part of this. As a matter of fact, when Joey first came to us in his jeans and his boots and, hey, we got this church over here in an elementary school, I said, okay, Bible beater, we're all set. But Jesus brought me here. Jesus asked me to be a member of this community, and grace, I'm just so proud to be a part of it. In terms of this mission of God, again, it's really being part of this community. It's Jesus showing me a new path. It's Jesus bringing me, or at least pointing in the direction of the path that he went and giving me that opportunity to do that. So this is my tryout for being an assistant junior pastor. I told Joey that I'm going to be assistant junior pastor. And there's one thing I always wanted to do. Grace, can I get an amen? All right, thank you.
Peter, you up next, my friend. Bob, you did a good job having to make that entrance, deal with all that, brother. You killed it. Oh, you'll do fantastic.
How you doing, everybody? My name's Pete. Sorry about the hat. It's for after I get dunked, so some of the questions that we had, but, you know, I tend to speak a lot from the heart, so what is the gospel and how has it changed your life is a heavy question. So when I've had times in my life where I don't know the answers to things, where I feel down, where I don't know where to go, I've had moments where I've gone to the book and it's shown me answers to things that I didn't even know were in there. And like Bob said, it's also God's word. It's Jesus' fulfillment, his death for my sins, which is something I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. So it's something that I'm trying to continuously learn and go back to and try to be a better man with. So that's what the gospel is to me. What does being baptized to me mean? You know, my mother was all like, you've been baptized a Catholic. You don't need to be baptized again. And I'm like, Ma, I go, I'm 41 now. I know a lot more stuff than I knew when I was a baby, right? So a lot of life has happened between that time. And I can honestly say that when I thought that Jesus wasn't with me in my darkest times, he never left me. He's the reason I'm here, you know? And I also want to say, too, that, you know, Joey and Dave and the congregation, you know, coming to the house and just being honest with your hearts and open. And that Bible study, that brought me here too, because it was truth and honesty. So I want to thank the church for that. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank Dave for that. Amen on that. I need an amen on that for these guys. All right. And what does this church mean to me? It means a lot. It means a place that I can go for safety, to be me, to really be me, to express my love for God, and to try to become a better man for God. And really try to change for the better and follow whatever path he wants me to follow. And are you excited about being on a mission of God to proclaim the gospel and see what and more people follow Jesus? That's going to be a tough one. I'm excited, but I'm also like scared because I don't know how to do it. But I'm definitely excited. And I just want to say I love you all. Thank you very much for sharing this day with me. And God bless you all.
Awesome, bro. Awesome.
Dan.
Good morning, Restoration Road. This is not my bag, so please forgive me. But I was given four questions, and one is, what is the gospel and what does it mean to you? The basic gospel, as I understand it, is that God gave his only son to die on the cross for us. And God can't spare wrath, so he poured out that wrath on Jesus and crushed him in order to spare us, because he loved us so much. And Joey talks about it, and he said, do you love the world that much that you could give your only child for this whole world? And as I look around the world, I mean, it's the most selfless, loving act that that anyone could perform. And the gospel has changed my life. If you'd known me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you would know that it's an absolute miracle for me to be standing here today, putting my faith in Jesus Christ. And the second is, what does baptism mean to me? Baptism, as I understand it, I look at it symbolically in a couple ways. If you read Genesis, you know that the world was washed away because it was so evil. And that's the way I picture what's happening here with my sin today. It's being washed away symbolically. And I'm being born again. It's also Jesus's death and resurrection. As we go into the water, it symbolizes Jesus's death. And as we're pulled out, it symbolizes his resurrection. And it's also an ordinance in the gospel that we are to be baptized. So it's my first step as being a Christian and taking orders, which is something I don't do too well. And then what does this church mean to me? It means something very, very special to me. It's very dear to me because, as you guys, most of you know, me, Dennis, and Joey are friends from high school. So it's been a long road for me to get to where I am today. And I had a lot of hesitation about picking a church, a lot. And I didn't know that I would ever walk into a church because of, you know, a lot of denominational stuff I was investigating. And I made my way back to Lynn from Western Mass, and I knew that I was going to come to see Joey. It's the only reason that I would walk into a church, because I trusted him, because I knew him so well. And Nikki's here. She was my sister's dear friend in high school. And she spent a lot of time at my house, so I know them well. They're like, you know, they're like family. So coming back here has been great. You guys have been awesome. Playing volleyball down by the lake is awesome. Getting to know you guys is good. Thank you for having me. And the last question was the gospel spreading the message for the future. I do a lot of reading. I've completed the New Testament. I read a lot of the Old Testament. And Joey talked about having fear and spreading the gospel. And it took me 3 years when I was pretty sure Jesus was who he said he was to fall to my knees. And that's because I was afraid how people were going to see me, the outside world, how they're going to perceive me as a Christian. Because there's this caricature built up of Christianity out there in the world today. And, they think you're ignorant. They think you're foolish. And so I've realized through my reading that, it's the only worldview that makes sense to me, that I can make sense of all the entire world through Christianity. And so I'm very excited about spreading the message of Christianity to people. I've already begun. And I'm actually much more comfortable with it than I thought I would be. And like I said, 5 years ago, I couldn't even bring myself to drop to my knees. And I knew it myself mentally. I just want to thank you guys for accepting us. And, I'm looking forward to getting baptized today.
And the final one. Ryan.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan. When Joey asked me to do this, I had immediate anxiety and nerves. I can get up on stage and play and do presentations at work, but trying to tell you guys what God's done in my life is... it's difficult because I feel like I'm a broken person, and who am I to be preaching to you guys? And I'm like, I'm not ready. I can't do that. But I think that's the point. I don't think you're ever ready for God to take a hold of you, and change your life. And as Joey was saying, it's not us that pursue God, it's God pursues us first. And the gospel has taught me that without Jesus, I'm just left in a broken state. There's no way that I can be perfect in the eyes of God. And I think that's why God sent his only son, because we can't earn salvation. How many good works I do, or nice things that I say to people, it's not some equation that just needs to be balanced so that you come out with like more good than bad. And when I realized that Jesus coming here is reconciling our wayward ways to God and making us reconciled to him by taking all the sin, not just of me, but of everybody that's ever lived, past, present, and future, it just hit me how the cross didn't seem big enough. From the little lies that I tell to, apartheid and Holocaust and stuff, all of that Jesus nailed on the cross to himself. And when I saw that, it was a love that is unmatched, I think, in this human world. And it moved me to no longer go through the motions. And it's the gospel has helped me live a life not to show that, well, I've done more good works than so-and-so, or I'm at the top tier in the church or something, but it's to live out a recognition and appreciation of what God has done for us by sending his only son to die for my sins. And that's truly the good news for me. And so for baptism, I think it's that change in mindset to a newness of life. It's no longer myself striving to obtain salvation or be better than everybody else. It's knowing that the work's already been done, and I'm recognizing that and wanting to live my life in accordance with that. And I really like the passage about being remade internally. And there is that light switch that changes, and all of a sudden you realize that you can't deny this person in Jesus Christ. And it's one thing to accept it on the inside, but to do it in a public forum, I think is such a beautiful thing to be able to share with you guys. And this church has meant so much to me, welcoming. I've only been here, you know, a couple months, and it's amazing the love that you guys have shared with me. And the world's a tough place, but through all the relationships I have here and coming here every Sunday, it brings me back to what this Christian life is about, is living in community with other Christians that are struggling with the same weaknesses and temptations in life, but being there for each other and helping each other through in a way that's in accordance with a Christian life. And it's that accountability, not out of judgment, but out of love for wanting everybody here to live a Christian life and be content and joyful. So because of that, I'm excited to be on mission. I think it's amazing that God chooses us to work through. I think God's going to move with or without us, but I think through the acceptance of Christ and God and through baptism, being able to share in his work is such a glorious task and a little scary. But I think, you know, having the gift of the Holy Spirit dwell within you when you accept Christ and surrendering to that provides me some peace. And knowing that I don't need to come up with the things I need to do or not do, God will guide me, and I just need to be faithful to that. Because when I get up to heaven, God's not going to get out of abacus and start counting the number of things that I did on my own. He's going to say, were you a faithful servant to what I asked you to do? And I hope this is the start of a lot of yeses of that. I guess I hope, you know, through all of us here getting baptized, that you guys, you know, realize that God is real, God is love, and that he does move in people's lives and can pull people back from the abyss, and he'll pursue you unendingly and provide you that joy and contentment that I think we so often try and seek on our own. So let's do this.
Wow, that was awesome to see God. He's gracious and he's kind and he changes us. And, you know, he reminds us of what he's done in our heart. Amen? You know, we're one body, one spirit, one faith, one God. He's been so loving to us.